Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The gospel reading which we heard before, and I read verse 27. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority." Dear friends, as we all know, and some of you know very well, school is starting when? Tomorrow. Children are excited as school begins and a shade apprehensive too. Will I have a good year at school? Will I get on well with the other kids? Will I get a good teacher this year? Education is a very important part of our life and not just for children. Teaching and learning are also very important in the Christian faith and life. Faith Lutheran College, the nearest Lutheran secondary school, and how aptly it is named, Faith. This congregation has a primary school, and that has a long history. Everywhere those first Lutherans went, it was the same. Church and school, pastor and teacher. And what about the life of your congregation here today? My guess is that there is a children's ministry. Well, there is, because we heard Vicky before. Thank you, Vicky. Not sure what to say after what you said, because I think my sermon might be a bit superfluous. Anyway, maybe there's a confirmation class, I hope so. Bible study groups. The church has always had a teaching ministry because followers of Jesus are mathetes. They are disciples, learners, and we have so much to learn. And that teaching ministry goes right back to Jesus himself. Jesus began his ministry as a wandering rabbi, as a walkabout teacher. People called him that, rabbi, teacher. Like other rabbis, Jesus had his school of disciples, not children in a classroom, but grown men and women, after a while, who followed him everywhere. School on the move, school by experience, we might call it, on-the-job training. The Gospels show us that Jesus' teaching ministry was one of preaching and teaching and healing. The evangelist Mark, in his first chapter, links these three together and shows us how Jesus' teaching and preaching and healing, these ministries overlap. They hang together. They're entwined in one ministry. And as we heard last week, Jesus' ministry began with preaching. "The time is fulfilled," he said. "The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe in the good news." That is the announcement at the start of his ministry. What happens next? He calls together a school of disciples, people who will learn the message of the kingdom and teach it to others. So he calls Simon and Andrew, James and John, then the rest of the 12 who will become apostles, and then he calls more and more people to follow him as his disciples, as those who will learn the way of the kingdom. And early on, it becomes apparent that Jesus is no ordinary rabbi. He is a teacher with authority. Normally, people would go to the rabbi and negotiate with him to become disciples. Not so with Jesus. He chooses his disciples. "You, follow me." And what happens? They drop their nets, they leave their old dad in the boat, they leave their taxation office, they get down from their tree, and they follow him. immediately. And then comes the part of the story where our text is recorded. Jesus goes into a synagogue and begins to teach. Just remember that if a synagogue was a place of worship, it was even more a school, a place of instruction, a house of Torah. For the Hebrew word Torah, which unfortunately we usually translate as law, really means instruction. It says that the people in the synagogue were astounded at his teaching. Why? What is it that made people sit up and listen? Why is it they heard Jesus as one who taught with authority and not as the boring old scribes? Well, I've got to be a bit careful here because I'm an old teacher and probably a boring one. So. Astounded, absolutely awestruck they were at his teaching. In the first reading, we heard the great teacher, greatest teacher of God's people of old, Moses, predicting near the end of his life that one day God would raise up a teacher like Moses. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your brothers and sisters. You must listen to him. Well, here he is, and the people know it. Mark doesn't give us a sample of his teaching at this point, but if you flip over to Matthew chapters 5 to 7, you will find the teaching on the mountain. More accurate than to say that than the Sermon on the Mount. It is teaching. And what astonished the people was Jesus' authority and his assertion of an authority greater than Moses. But I say unto you, think of Jesus, for example, he's teaching about loving your neighbor in Matthew 5. You've heard that it was said by Moses and those of old, love your enemies, but love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. So Jesus is asserting a greater authority. So Jesus has much authority. He calls disciples, they drop everything and follow him. He teaches in synagogues, by the sea, atop a mountain, on the plain, and everywhere the crowds gather and they are astounded. He can even teach demons. Well, thank God that we don't have much direct experience of demons. In some countries and some cultures, people are still troubled by demons in ways that we do not experience. But I think it is naive to say that there is no dark side here in Australia, especially among those who willfully reject God and devote themselves to Satan and the powers of evil. Some years ago, I remember reading about a vampire woman who was put on trial for murder. Why did she murder? To satisfy her thirst for blood. Vampires, demons, black magic, pagan worship, that dark side stuff is going on in our society, mostly below the surface. Some young people stray into this out of curiosity, sometimes via the internet, or they think it might be fun. It is not fun. It is serious and dangerous. Stay away from the dark side. But back to our story, Jesus teaches with awesome authority in the synagogue. the demons know that the gauntlet has been thrown down, so they precipitate a showdown. Right then and there, as Jesus begins his teaching ministry in the house of God. I'll read it again. Just then, there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." So why do the demons speak his name and say who he really is? That's right, what he said, isn't it? The demon, what it said. According to ancient thinking, and this still exists in Papua New Guinea and some other places, one of the most effective ways to disarm your enemy is to speak their real name and their real identity. It's like stripping off the armor and taking away the weapon. But Jesus teaches the demons, and with authority. And his first lesson to this unruly demon or demons is about obedience. "Be silent," rebukes Jesus, "and come out of him." Does it happen? Yes. The unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. Do you remember the Robin Man song? When Jesus came, the demons cried, "Oh, how they cried." A great song. But the demon puts up a fight, doesn't it? It tries to assert control and power over the man by convulsing him. It resists the command to be silent by shrieking. But the exousia, the power and the authority of Jesus, is greater. Despite the protest of shouting and convulsing the man, the demon has no power to stay. The demon departs. And the people absolutely get what has just happened, what they've just seen. They perceive this as an extension, as a demonstration of his teaching. What do they say? "What is this? A new teaching. With authority, he commands the unclean spirits and they obey him." Yes, the teaching has authority because the power and the authority come from God. The teaching has authority because what Jesus says and what Jesus does are the same thing. When he speaks with more authority than Moses. When demons challenge the breaking in of God's kingly rule, Jesus rebukes them and they must depart. The words and the deeds match. And that's what makes Jesus' teaching new and powerful. Not like the dried up, boring old rabbis and scribes. This power, this authority comes from God. In his baptism, Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 10, Peter's sermon, we read this: "You know the word which God sent to Israel, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, how he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." Empowered by the Holy Spirit, Jesus preached and taught and healed and did all kinds of good in the face of great opposition. And the opposition begins right at the start, just as we heard. So great was the opposition that in the end, the powers of evil, both spiritual and human, succeeded in having him nailed to a cross. And when they saw Jesus dying on that cross, they thought the victory was theirs. But no, they did not know the power of God. As it says in Colossians chapter 2, God made you alive together with Christ Jesus when he forgave us all our trespasses, erasing the record that stood against us with its legal demands. He set this aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the principalities and the powers and made a public example of them, triumphing over them in him, in Christ. Jesus of Nazareth taught with authority to the people of Capernaum that day in their synagogue. With authority, he even rebuked demons. He taught them a lesson, indeed. The same Jesus, now risen Lord and Christ, reigning Christ, still speaks with authority in his church and in our midst. Whenever and wherever the gospel is taught, preached in its truth and purity, there Jesus Christ speaks. As we heard last Sunday, Jesus began his ministry by saying, "Repent and believe in the gospel." His word has authority to make you listen and search your heart and truly repent of your sins. And when you hear the good news that your sins are forgiven for Jesus' sake, and you believe it, then indeed your sins are forgiven. And when you hear the good news that evil power no longer has dominion over you or your life, because Jesus broke that power in rising from the dead, then indeed you are set free from evil power. When you hear that peace with God is yours through Christ and you believe it, then indeed you have peace and no one can rob you of that peace. When you hear, as St. Paul says, that Christ's power is made perfect in weakness and you believe it, then indeed you will overcome and have the victory, no matter what it is that is making you weak, whether weak in faith, weak in body or mind or spirit. It is rather telling that in our secularized modern society, modern culture, people commonly talk about facing your demons. Tennis players have to face their demons. Have you heard them speak that way? Yes. So there's still a latent, a kind of hidden awareness of sinister powers that seek to control us. When people talk about facing your demons, they mean facing the weaknesses, the addictions, the problems, the predilections that trap us and drag us down, that we keep falling into. So think about it. What is your demon or demons? What drags you down? Do you have dark thoughts you can't get rid of? Do you have a secret addiction that claws at your life? Do you have pet sins you can't seem to let go of? Do you? Can you control your anger, your rage? Can you be violent even if you're not violent in your heart? For all of us, our most abiding sin is that we put me at the center of our universe. We all of us have an abiding tendency to be self-centered, selfish, and this is so crippling and so diminishing. It hinders us from being the free people that God meant us to be. So let us let go of self and focus on Jesus and his teaching for our lives. Jesus teaches with authority, not only in this gospel reading, Jesus teaches with authority in our lives. Listen to him. That song has got it right. Listen to him. Listen to the teaching of the good news that frees us from the power of sin and evil and empowers us to live as God's sons and daughters. The gospel says because of Jesus, you are forgiven, you are set free, free from whatever power it is that robs you of your freedom. St. Paul wrote, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." We are free, but freedom does not mean license. It's not about indulging ourselves. We are freed to live as people of God. You want to live that life? Then listen to the teaching of Jesus in the Gospels and live it and do it. That teaching begins with these words of Jesus: "Love one another as I first loved you." The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.